Hi, everyone. Welcome to Try Catch, a podcast sponsored by EI2. And we are diving into a new series called Innovation in the Wild, A Day in the Life. For this series, we dive into real stories behind creativity and problem solving across our organization. Not the polished slide deck version, but the everyday moments where ideas spark, challenges push us to think differently, and unexpected inspiration shows up right when we need it. Each episode, we'll sit down with someone across the FCSA, Frontier, and Ag Country Associations who's living innovation firsthand. You'll hear about clever fixes, tech trends that turned into aha moments, and ideas that sounded a little out there until they turned out to be brilliant. Whether you're here for inspiration, curiosity, or just a great story, you're in the right place. So let's jump into today's episode and see what innovation looks like in the wild. We're joined today by Ben Yonke. Hi, Ben.
Hey.
How's it going?
It's going great.
Good. You want to go ahead and introduce yourself for us?
Sure. Yeah. I'm a solution reliability engineer here at Farm Credit. I've been here for about 2.5 years.
Nice. Awesome. Okay, so let's just jump into our questions. So our first one is, what's a recent project or projects where you implemented an innovative solution?
I would probably talk about when I was working with one of our digital services teams, and we were working on our remote deposit capture API. And so one of the things that we found is we were really struggling to understand, as checks were moving through our systems, like kind of what the state that they were in. Mm-hmm. And so we used some cool logging techniques to get those logs into our observability platform. And then we could do some really cool things like show them in dashboards with different widgets. And it kind of helped get a visual understanding of where these checks were in our systems.
Nice.
And so that helped understand like the state of the API. And also we could see and troubleshoot issues when they were happening. Mm-hmm. So that was really helpful for the dev team.
Yeah. Kind of technical and business value.
Right. Right.
Cool. Do you have any other projects that you have?
Yeah, so I started a SRE newsletter. So again, SRE stands for Solution Reliability Engineer. Other places in the world, you might hear it called Site Reliability Engineering.
Okay.
Here at FCSA, we typically call it Solutions Reliability Engineering because we have a more of an app dev focus instead of more of a like an infrastructure and site focus. And so one of the things that we do is, since we work with both devs and product side of the house, we send out a newsletter every month where we talk about what the SRE team's currently up to, postmortems, which we might get into talking about later. And those postmortems, we always send out the summary. So it just keeps everyone informed with what's kind of going on in the SRE world.
So yeah, so you kind of hit on how innovation can be anything, really. In your kind of day-to-day role, how would you define innovation?
I would say innovation is really just trying to improve in one aspect or dimension something that you're currently working on. So It might be, and from an SRE's perspective, it might be like visibility or understanding of like what's going on in your system. Innovation could also be like transforming a business model into a new business opportunity. And so I think innovation depends on the context that you're working in.
Mm-hmm.
And so from a solution reliability engineer, I would say innovation is trying to translate how we understand our systems better. So that way, when we are developing products that our customers use, we can reduce downtime, improve availability, and ultimately that leads to a better customer experience.
Awesome. That's great. That's a really great way to expand on what people's maybe cut and dried definition of innovation looks like. Because you mentioned the newsletter even, right? And how that's not necessarily techie, like most people would think innovation is, but it was really just improving on that process.
Right, right. So. And also just keeping people in the loop, because you'd be surprised, especially at bigger organizations, how much stuff can go on with your teammates not even knowing what's going on.
Right. Yeah. Awesome. So how do you keep up with the tech trends and bring them into your work?
Yeah. So I don't really like follow any like specific newsletters. I really just keep my ear to the ground and then kind of, you know, I get lunch with a lot of different teams and different parts of our organization. So like our platform engineering team, I talk to a lot every time, at least once a week. And sometimes I'll meet with developers, lead developers, AppSec. And so it's really just more of networking with the different people in the organization. And they kind of fill me in on what's new.
That's great.
But I do follow some things on social media, but I would say it's where I normally get my information from is my peers.
Nice. That's awesome. And again, not something that people normally think of when they think tech trends, right? Okay, so what's the biggest challenge, do you think, when you're trying to innovate?
I would say bringing others along, like being a good storyteller. So like being able to share the vision that you're trying to accomplish and then like bringing other people along and showing like how we're going to get there. So one thing is like making the value like visible for others.
Right. That's
so
great.
So I can give you an example of this. One time, one of our Aptiv leaders came over to our desk and we were talking about alerting on some of their systems. And so he came over to me and he was like, why am I getting these alerts? How can we reduce the noise of some of these? Or like the exact scenario was these issues aren't even our specific application. It's actually one of our downstream dependencies. And so I was talking to him about like, well, by being able to report on these alerts that are coming through and then like how many times you have to like reassign or show it's a downstream dependency, that provides data that then we can use and provide to the business or whoever is prioritizing work and say, hey, maybe we need to give some love to some of these other applications, these downstream dependencies, because they're causing upstream issues, which ultimately leads to a poor customer experience.
Yeah. Nice. That's awesome. Okay. This is another kind of throw at you question. Are there any innovative ideas that you've had to scrap?
I mean, I don't know if I would even just say scrapped as like they've probably morphed. So,
okay.
So like an idea might come in like one form or like I have an idea and it starts out as a square.
Yeah.
And then, you know, we start hammering it and then now it's more of a circle. And so like now it's a better idea.
Uh-huh.
So it's not the same idea that we started with.
Yeah.
But the core idea was still a part of the final solution. It was just, it wasn't executed in the exact same way.
Got it. So you innovated on your innovation.
Yes, exactly.
Innovationception or
whatever
we call that. Awesome. Okay. So this is one of our fun questions. So if you could invent any gadget to make your job easier, what would it be?
Okay. I don't know if I can pick one.
Okay. Give them to me. What do you got?
Okay. So the first one would be something that can translate my thoughts into... like work item stories, like Azure DevOps stories would be so cool because like it's not fun to write user stories. Like I don't know anyone in the world that
maybe
actually
we
has
need to
fun.
Innovate on this. Yeah, okay, right. Okay, I get it.
Yeah. So if I could, you know, go talk to some product owners or developers and like come up with the idea and then not have to like write it down and just like just boom, there
just
you go. The
there.
Story's there.
Yeah.
That would be so cool.
Nice. All right, what else you got?
Another one would be, so in my role as a solution reliability engineer, a lot of things that we're trying to do is like monitor and understand what's going on in our applications.
Yep.
And so some of the stuff we have to build manually, but what would be really cool is if we could auto instrument all of these applications.
Okay.
With minimal manual effort. So think of like, if I wanted to monitor all of the things a part of a platform, might be infrastructure related things. So how's the like CPU, memory, disk resources. I might also want to monitor the response time of an API or page load time. Like web vitals are super important from like a browser or like UI perspective because that's kind of associated with search engine optimization if you've ever heard of SEO. And so all these components that go into like a product, those all require slightly different implementation and solutions for how you monitor those things.
Mm-hmm.
So if all that stuff could just like work out of the box like for free, like developers don't even have to know about it. They just get all that stuff for
like
free. That
plug
would be
and
so
play.
Cool. Yeah, plug and play would be great. But
nice.
Most of the world doesn't work that way for custom solutions.
I mean, we could get there.
We could.
Nice.
It'd take some work.
Yeah. Okay, another question. Have you ever had an idea that sounded crazy, but it turned out to be brilliant?
One of them would be trying to move some of our, so I was just talking about some of the like auto instrumentation and like observability. One of the things that we did recently, I actually worked with our platform engineering team to do is we had separate steps in our pipeline that would send deployment information to our observability platform.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let me step back. Some of the issues with that is when you deploy something, there you have to send events to our observability platform, like, hey, I deployed something.
Okay.
Well, you also have the step for the actual deployment of the artifact.
Okay.
So now you have two events that are closely coupled or tightly coupled to each yep. other, because you don't want to send a deployment event without deploying the actual thing. And so what was happening is we would have times where a deployment might fail, but the event still goes through and says, hey, I deployed something.
But you didn't.
Or if you disable, you know, someone could disable that step. And so the deployment still happens, but the event never gets sent out. And so we're like, okay, well, that's kind of annoying. So what we did is we actually bundled them into the same step.
Yep.
So now, no matter what happens, if the step is successful, you get your event. If it's not, you don't get your event. So it also reduced some extra noise that we were seeing in our observability platform.
Nice. Okay. Another question. What advice would you give to someone who may be in a role where things aren't necessarily, like, I guess, sexy for innovation? Or, like, what advice would you give someone who thinks that their role can't be innovative?
I would say you're not thinking hard enough.
Okay, a little tough love. Yeah, I like it. Okay.
No, I really do think that there are, like, how many times have you or any of our listeners been in a conversation where you hear, well, that's just the way we've always done it. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm sure you've always heard something like that.
Yeah.
And in my mind, that's just, like, an easy way to say, like, we just don't want to, like, spend time thinking about a different solution.
Yeah.
So just share, like, the ideas. Maybe, like, do some brainstorming on your own, and then go to your tech lead. Say, hey, you know, we've kind of been having this problem, mm-hmm. and I think that this solution that I mean, it's probably not perfect,
right?
But, like, it's an idea and get started. You know how we always talk about the square, and the circle. Yeah, yeah. So it might start as a square, but then your tech lead might be like, oh yeah, no, I could see something about that, and then he takes his little hammer and, you know, rounds it out, and then now it's a great perfect circle.
Yeah, awesome. That's great. I love that. Yeah, almost listening for those buzzwords to kind of tell you, yeah, this could be better. This could be different.
Right.
Yeah. Awesome. All right. Any other thoughts on innovation that you wanted to share?
I would just say that you, like, when you're innovating things, like, it's not always pretty. Mm-hmm. Like, sometimes you can innovate things behind the scenes. Your customer may never know. One example is, like, rewriting or refactoring a code base. Any devs out there have done, I'm sure they've probably refactored a plenty large amount of code.
Yeah.
And so, like, why were you doing the refactoring? Is it because it makes it more testable? Is it because it makes it more readable for the next dev that comes along mm-hmm. and is, like, looking through that code? And so you're, like, when we're talking about innovation, like, it could just be, like, modifying an existing thing for the future of being used, or, like, even development patterns, right?
Yeah.
So we write code much differently than we wrote code 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Like, even just, like, patterns, styles, frameworks.
All of the things.
Templates.
Yep.
People use templates now a lot more now. So, like, those things are all innovative. Mm-hmm. And so that's what I'd say there.
Nice. That's great advice. All right. Well, thank you all for joining us today. We really enjoyed having Ben on. Thanks, Ben. And stay tuned for what TriCatch has next. Thanks.